This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to I'm Absolutely Fine, the podcast from The Midult that looks at all the glamour and indignity of being a grown-up.
Hey, everybody. How are you feeling? Do you feel like a fully functioning human woman? Or do you feel like a collapsed sofa?
If the stuffing has been knocked out of you by, well, everything, it might be time to talk about the gut microbiome. Go on, let's. I know it's not sexy repartee, but it's a conversation worth having because it affects, well, everything. Bear with me briefly. Your gut microbiome is a vast ecosystem with bacteria as diverse as the Amazon rainforest. They break down food and help your body to detoxify. They support the immune system. They can affect energy and weight, as well as mental health.
But along with all the bacteria lurk yeasts, fungi and viruses, good guys and bad guys. And research has now shown that the composition of the gut microbiome can change with dietary intervention, stress levels and quality of sleep. Scientists are increasingly treating the gut as its own organ, which is why we are delighted that this podcast is brought to you by Simprove again.
Let me tell you a story. Long before Simprove approached us to sponsor the podcast, I had started swigging it every morning and felt a difference within weeks. It's a water-based supplement that carries live and active bacteria that can endure the incredible journey from mouth to gut in order to start to multiply and produce food for the bugs we already have. Don't even get me started on the gut-brain connection.
Now, I've now been using it for 6 months and I can't get enough of the stuff. Hair, mood, skin, digestion, it's all happening more as it should, as it used to.
Everybody who knows about this stuff knows that Simprove is the best of its kind. You can sign up for a 12-week introductory program, and here's your code for a 15% discount, MIDULT15 at simprove.com. Simprove, follow your gut feeling. Hi, everyone. I'm Annabelle, and I'm absolutely fine. But regular listeners will know that Married at First Sight Australia has been kind of the only thing keeping me going for the last few months.
It's your crutch.
Keeps me awake at night long enough to, you know, not go to bed at 8:45. It just gives me something to talk about. I can't watch anything with a narrative arc because I'm too sleepy. And I find anything sad or violent too distressing. Anyway, it finished last week. The week before, which is it was a tragedy in my life. So appallingly, I find myself going back and thinking, okay, so this has just been series 9. I started on series 5, so I haven't seen series 4. So I'll dig it out, download it and watch series 4 and it'll be fine, like an Elastoplast, be good, it'll do its job. So that is bad enough in itself. But then I started watching series 4 and I realised that even though it was probably only filmed, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, it already has that slightly sepia tinted Golden Girls tinge to it. And then I think, you know, my God, I look at those things like Friends, which look like properly vintage. And then you remember you watched them first time round when they looked as fresh and the humour didn't seem sort of homophobic and misogynistic and appalling. And it's just all confirmation of how time is weird and moves too fast. And things that we grew up with are now old-fashioned.
I feel that things are going at such a fast pace that even a couple of years is like light years.
Well, what a couple of years.
Well, that true.
How are you, Emily?
Oh, hi, Annabelle. I'm absolutely fine. But this morning, I put heel balm, Flexitol heel balm on my face. By accident, I hastened to add. Although, as soon as I realised, I picked it up from my bedside table, put it on, slathered it on my face, realised that there was something texturally wrong, looked down in horror, and then thought, oh, for 1 second, I thought maybe this will help the cracks on my face.
And in my soul.
As it has helped the cracks on my heels. Then I thought, oh no, you're insane. Are you really so desperate that you would actually put heel balm on your face in order to smooth it out?
You know, in a way, are you so desperate that you wouldn't?
Well,
doesn't it just show us that we have too many bottles to beat ourselves up with? What are we trying to prove with a bottle for our elbow and a bottle for our eyebrow?
I mean, exactly. And also, they're both nestling next to my, exactly, my bedside, my pillow, the moisturiser and that. So I rubbed it off, like, so fast. And
then hated yourself just a little bit more.
I know, exactly.
Your madness, for your blindness, for the fact that you're conned into buying 95 different creams.
Exactly, and for what any of it is saying about anything, and will I just stick a filter on it anyway?
Thank goodness today's guest is here.
Yes, because if you have ever been depressed about the chilly perfection of Instagram, then we have the antidote. Emily Clarkson sharing her unflinching quest for photorealism to her 249,000 followers. She uses the platform to call out the constant cultural undermining of women and to smash our own internalised misogyny one awkward yet joyful post at a time. She also has a chart-topping podcast, Should I Delete That?, with her fellow warrior Alex Light, where they rant and chat and talk to people about mental health, body image and the rest. We are thrilled to welcome her to the podcast. Em, how are you?
Hello, I'm absolutely fine, but I'm a shite adult and I'm constantly overwhelmed and I just can't handle any of it. Thank you very much for having me.
I love it. And then mic drop.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, speaking, you know, 20 years on from you or something, that never changes. You never become a good adult, do you?
No.
Maybe if you can stop caring, but then, you know.
You get these tiny moments, like when you pull out of the boot of your car the bags for life and take them into the supermarket, and you have 1 second where you actually are like, I'm an adult, this is it, I'm winning. And then you never have enough, or something breaks or whatever, or you forget your list or whatever.
I feel deranged today. it's not going well. But Em, you know, I know you don't feel young, but you know, at the tender age of 27, nearly 28, you've made this very grown-up decision to make it your mission to be the antidote, really, to the dishonesty around the way that women are spoken to by mainstream media and the way that we're all beaten up all the time. Why did you start on this quest?
Well, I like the idea that it was like some calculated, like, I'm just going to go and just be amazing. I'm just going to go and be what everybody needs. It wasn't that at all. I started it because I needed it. Like, my age group grew up at a really weird time, almost as weird as the kids that are growing up now. And it's just all the magazines. Before it was social media, it was the magazines, whatever. But I just grew up, I can't tell you how little my self-worth was throughout my life. Like, I felt like basically a sack of shit for my whole life. I had no confidence, I had no self-worth, and I wasn't on my own with that. But it does feel like you are, right? I think I just got to a point where I was like, this is bullshit. Like, this is enough.
Was that because of what you were looking at on social?
I think so. It was actually before socials. I mean, if you grow up like looking like we did at Cosmo, which I still love, but Heat, which I don't love, Closer, you know, any of those magazines, like we grew up in the Hoop of Horror era. Do you remember? Like, they'd go, you know, whatever, Courtney Cox would go out on a night out and she'd have a sweat patch and they'd put it in a big red hoop.
The Hoop of Horror. Exactly.
It was like evidence.
Yeah, Circle of Shame.
It was that comparison, that constant comparison thing. So it would be like, I remember pictures of like Tyra Banks, who's a sort of ravishing model. And it was like, look at her on the beach looking awful. And it was just because the angle is particularly unflattering, nothing to do with and how wonderfully ravishing she is. But I agree, it was that constant kind of chipping away at women's sort of self-worth and self-confidence.
Shaming you for whatever you were and whatever you were.
Yeah. And it's just, the more you grow up with it, you know, I always wanted, like, I've always been like a little feminist. Like, I, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be Secretary General of the United Nations because, like, no woman had done it. I was such a weird five-year-old. But, like, I just, you know, I have a lot of morality and I always had a lot of, and actually it made me horribly judgmental and not a great person for a long time because you end up being, you know, a bit too strident. But
I think if you're judging yourself, well, and you're being unkind to yourself,
you judge everybody. Yeah. If we're reading Heat, we're reading Closer. I believe that women are conditioned, and young girls are conditioned to judge each other and to shame each other and to bring each other down, because we weren't taught to believe that there was enough space for everybody. So we do shit on each other all the time, and I shout on everybody else because it made me feel better, because I was insecure. So I would look at other women and I'd delight in the circle of shame. I'd be like, yes, yes. She's not perfect.
I agree. There's such a strange, I think it's sort of to do with the way that men create kind of clubs for themselves where they basically lift each other up, etc., etc., and how that has just gone on for forever and ever. And we are, you know, women are trying with, you know, those spaces and those clubs and whatever. But I agree, is there's so little, feels like so little space to fight for, that you have to kind of, you know, it's got to be at the expense of another woman. It's certainly not at the expense of a man.
I remember feeling it really acutely recently when the whole Free Britney movement was happening. And I remembered when she was obviously in terrible trouble and she was shaving her head, losing custody of her kids. They were putting the conservatorship in place. And we were all gleeful about how mad she looked. And I felt very complicit in this awful narrative that had been played out at her, really, and around her and about her. But go on, Em. So this was all happening. So and it was affecting your self-esteem and the way that you were projecting things onto other people.
Yeah, I don't think before we started recording, we kind of talked about like a lack of nuance in social media. And I think at my core, I'm not a bad person. I hope I'm a good person, but I had to make myself a better person, because I don't think I'd been conditioned to grow up. I don't think any of our generation, we always say things like, oh, I'm not like the other girls, and like, you know, and sort of like microaggressions against other women. We do compete with other women, and I think I was a bit bitchy and gossipy and judgy and whatever. And that's all fun and games until it got turned on me, which it did when I was 17, because my dad's in the public eye. And then, you know, the male would print photos of me when I was a kid, you know, as a teenager. And the comments about me, and they were like beyond brutal to read as a teenager about yourself. And I still, they're imprinted on my soul. Like, you know, some of them I will never, ever forget. And it gave me such a battering. Like, I just didn't want to be me. It was like every insecurity that I already had, which was extensive because, you know, I was a teenage girl in the noughties. And then all these people like were commenting, all these grown-ups were like commenting all this shit about me. And I just thought, it took a couple of years. It didn't happen overnight, but I had this real thing where I was like, we can't keep going like this. We have to, something has to change. We've got to be better to women, but women have to be better to women before we can start getting men being better to women, I suppose. So it's been a growth thing, but a lot of what I did on Instagram, I was like, I can't apologise for what I look like, and I don't owe you anything. I don't owe you beauty. I don't owe you slimness. What do you want from me? Because if I look a different way, someone will have a beef with that or whatever. But anyway, so I was basically a bit of a bitch and a gossip as a teenager probably, and then everyone started bitching and gossiping about me, and I thought, no, I'm out. I'm not doing this. So I tried to create a space online that's just kinder, and I won't have got it right all the time, but for the most part, I'm really proud of what I have now, and it's great.
Yeah, and there are certain things that are going to be very helpful, like almost therapeutic for young women, like the way you on Instagram and you and Alex in your podcast talk about things like diet culture, because we pretend that that's getting better, and it isn't really, is it? Not yet.
No, and I think like something that's really hard with social media is like, you kind of can't show up unless you've got like you're 100% right about something, or you've got a complete opinion, or like you've laid something to bed and then you can come back and reflect on it. It's really hard when you're in the throes of something to come and be imperfect, because, you know, we expect so much of each other. We call each other out. We judge each other. So it's hard. But I think something like to pretend that none of us are affected by diet culture is a load of, like, it's just not. Yeah, of course you are. You know, like, I've got a wedding coming up, and to not have that, you know, the wedge shred shit in the back of your mind, it's impossible. You have it, and you have the bikini body stuff. You have the, you know, you see popping up Slim Fast, Slimming World, Weight Watchers, it's everywhere. I think, like, something that we're not very good at online yet is forgiving ourselves, accepting ourselves, like accepting that we struggle, accepting that we're products of our environment. And like, that's a big part of what Al and I do with the podcast is like, look, you're not perfect. Like, you'll have done this shit in the past. You might still be doing it now, but you don't have to keep doing it. Like, you don't have to keep being a dick if you don't want to. You don't have to keep hurting yourself if you don't want to. You don't have to just eat, I don't know, cabbage, like, if you don't want to. Like, the time is whenever you want to make the change.
Yeah, because shame can do that, can't it? It can sort of back you into a corner, a really dark, scary corner, where you just don't think that you could do anything else.
No, and that's when you project. You know, that's where trolling happens. That's where unhappiness happens. That's where... It's such a weird world, social media. Like, I just, you know, you could literally go for like 40 years trying to explain the psyche that it's creating, and you wouldn't get to the bottom of it. But shame's huge. And we, I think women have always had shame. And I think, women have always been shamed for everything, literally everything, you know. And sometimes you have these conversations online and you just think, this is huge. Like, there's nothing that we don't feel shame about. Like, you had too much sex, you didn't have enough sex, you ate too many biscuits, you didn't eat any biscuits, that's boring. Like, I don't know, everything. Like, absolutely everything you'll get judged for.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, somebody was talking to, one of my daughters was talking about, you know, skinny privilege the other day. And I was just thinking, oh my God, it's so complicated, the idea that you're not allowed to talk about, like, body culture because you have a so-called acceptable, like, body shape. And it just goes on and on and on and on. I feel like it is like the quicksand that we were told as kids that we should be really frightened in the movies. It is actually emotional quicksand or social quicksand, where you, one minute you're there and you think you've got the footing, and the next you've disappeared down a hole and you've fucked it up. And you don't know, you know, how to kind of clamber out of it. It's very
because
difficult.
There is judgment at every single turn. Yeah. So sucking the oxygen, you know, out of your lungs. And it's interesting because I sort of think that in the past, women who were trying to, you know, in a way, sort of smash the patriarchy, you know, in small ways every day, would sort of say, I don't care what you think. But I feel like what you're doing, Em, is more nuanced than that. You're saying, I have really cared what you think, and I may still in some ways, but I'm making these decisions to try and be happier or more generous every day. And also, as we discussed earlier, reserving the right to change your mind, because if you can't change your mind, you can't grow. And we're supposed to be, as you say, certain that we're right with everything that we do and say.
Mm-hmm. I love that. My favorite thing ever is, you can't change the world if you can't change your mind, basically. And like, that's what everybody's trying to do on social media, right? Like, if a big political movement, if anything happens, right, people tell you to do better. This happens all the time. People say, do better, do better, do better. But they don't give you much space to actually do better, because, you know, if you've ever been ignorant, then that will be you, that will be weaponized and used against you in the future. And that makes it really scary to have an opinion on anything. You know, you say about skinny privilege, you say, you know, like, there's so many things, and you have to weigh up really if you're doing genuine harm or if your intentions are enough. You know, I think intention is important, and people don't really recognize that a lot on social media. And I think it is getting better. Or maybe I've just blocked enough people that it
feels like.
But I think it's really important that we give ourselves the space to change our minds.
The other thing about it is that the way that we're programmed, or at least the way I'm programmed, and I heard you guys talking about people pleasing in the podcast last week, and I know that's a subject that you come back to, but how one, you can have 100 positive comments that go, yay, go, thank you, whatever, this is brilliant, this is what I need to hear. And you have one person go, oh, I'm not really like this. And you go, this is the bit you think about. And you don't think about the 99 people you've helped. You think about the one person who thinks that somehow you're wrong. And how does that help us, like, move forward?
I think that's part of being a woman as well, though. And that's a really fun stuff, I find here. Like, this is a bit of, I don't know, this is like the wankiest expression, is like self-growth, but this is the stuff I love about it, because it's like, you push back on everything. Like, you push back, like, why do I want to be liked so much? Why does this hurt so much? Why? And you push everything back, and it's literally just like, it's the patriarchy every single time. Like, every time. It's like, women are conditioned. We have to be liked. Like, we have to be palatable. We have to be pretty. We have to be, like, modest and quiet and like, you know, seen and not heard and all this shit, right? And so when somebody doesn't like you, it is like a dagger to the heart. And it's taken me so much work to realise that it's okay. And actually, if people don't like me, it's none of my business. what people think of me isn't any of my business, really. And if I try and make it, I just will explode.
Isn't it clever of the patriarchy to make us think that we're battling them, but really just to have us infighting with each other? That'll shut us up.
Yeah.
That'll stop us infringing on their territory. Just let's call each other fat bitches for 10 or 20 years while they get on with banning abortion.
Literally. What do they say about that? It's like the left are so busy tying up our shoelaces to each other's shoelaces. And like, meanwhile, like fascists are voted in.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're worrying about, you know, which filter to use, which brings me on to filter culture, which is something that we are absolute amateurs at. But, you know, women in their 20s and 30s can almost draw themselves on to their Instagram post because it is so divorced from what's actually there. What does that do to you when you can't bear to look at the way that you really look? When what you see in the mirror is not good enough, but once you've, you know, distorted yourself, then that's acceptable for the public appetite, you know.
I think that's the worst. That's the bit that really, really scares me. And I haven't done so much on that at the minute. I did, you know, during lockdown, I felt like it was really, really, really important because we grew up, like I said, with those magazines and they were airbrushed to shit. And that damaged me. I know it damaged me because, you know, like even seeing photos of myself, I hated them. And I was so aware of, you know, even, you know, like now I'm starting to get wrinkly and I'm like, for God's sake, like, what was I worried about 10 years ago? This is so annoying. It's such a waste of my time. But that's lovely and hindsighty. But
just wait.
I can't wait. I know it's coming for me.
You'll be reaching for the heel bar.
Yeah, send me a link. I know that damaged me. And that was only seeing celebrities look a certain way. The fact that we can make ourselves look like those celebrities look will damage girls now in a way that we can't conceive. And this is what really scares me. It's like, for a really long time, people talked about social media like, oh, like people always said it to me, like when I got trolled and they'd be like, oh, if you don't like it, get off. That is not an option. Like it is inconceivable that you say to teenagers now, don't be online. Like it's not going to happen. But still people are treating it like it's this silly little hobby for like silly little girls that just want to go and like talk to their friends. It's not. It's how terrorism is thriving. It's how, you know, extremism is happening. It's fucking terrifying. It's absolutely ginormous. And people are behaving like it's, woo, like it's nothing. Anyway, and that means that it's completely unregulated. And I think the fact that you can take a photo and do whatever you want to it and you know, look at influencers, for example, or celebrities. You know, Kim Kardashian, the Jenners, whatever, they can pinch, tuck, smooth, whatever, and you are none the wiser. You can do it in video. You can do it. It's the easiest thing in the whole wide world. If you know, I could make myself look unrecognizable in 2 minutes on my phone. And without the declaration, without knowing that's what you're comparing yourself to, you will literally, it's chasing your tail and knowing you'll never, ever catch it because you're striving to something that doesn't exist. And that's one thing when you're looking at somebody else, as I did in the magazines. It's another thing when you think about girls looking at Kim Kardashian or all these women 50 times a minute. But it's something else entirely when you think that we're doing this to ourselves, because you're creating something in a screen that you can't see in a mirror, and that is,
well, something that doesn't exist.
Exactly. And that's so scary. So you, how can you ever measure up to this fantasy that you create of yourself? And I feel now, I hope it's a little better that we're back out the house again. And I really feel like, for me, you know, I can see myself in my friends. Like, I, you know, I can see myself when I'm having fun, and I feel like more of a complete person. But during lockdown, when it's just you at home and you just see yourself in your phone, this becomes entirely who you are because you lose so much else of yourself. Yeah. And that's when it really scared me, because I just think you're creating a monster, and the long-term effects of that, we don't know them. And that's what scares me, because we haven't been here before.
I mean, unbelievably addictive as well. I mean, how do you go back from that? And I agree, in terms of regulation, I mean, there's one kind of regulation where you want to stop, you know, Putin from hacking TikTok. And there's another kind of regulation for really women and girls, I suppose, where you would want something like this image has been manipulated on everything that has been filtered.
So an amazing friend of mine called Sasha Pilari did a really, really big campaign called Filter Drop with the Advertising Standards Agency, and she won. So you do now have to declare in an advert if something is edited, but there's no policing of it. You know, the online safety bill that Nadine Dorries has just pushed through, that should help again. But again, until somebody stands up and it's like, the whole thing needs regular, you know, there's little efforts being made and they're great, but on a mass scale, you know, TikTok edits you automatically.
Well, this is the thing. I always go on and I go with my children and I go, oh gosh, I look good. And then I realise that I don't look good.
Yeah.
And it's just that it's, but for them, exactly like you said, the fact that it does it automatically,
the message from TikTok is you are too disgusting for us to broadcast whatever it is that you're filming. Mm-hmm. So we will have to write this wrong before it goes on a screen. That's really scary.
The other thing is, as you were talking, I was thinking there is not one, I mean, you know, we are so set up to fail in so many ways because there's, you know, if you think about every kind of cookbook or food advertising or every sort of almost every beach scene that you see, you know, in a kind of travel advert or whatever, everything has been enhanced and changed and the food isn't the food. And I was told the other day that they use white glue to make cereal look like it's
bats. They put tampons in roast potatoes to make them steam.
Right, there you go. They put, and I just think, you know, I mean, for me, who's like tried to, when you try and replicate things and you go, I literally do not know why I can't replicate this in real life. And it's because it's all lies.
Because it doesn't exist.
And just when you make peace with it or whatever, then they bring out virtual influencers who aren't even, about, you know, real people with filters or whatever. It's actually just like imaginary people.
But there are AI that don't exist. Yeah, there are loads of them. Terrifying. Yeah,
they're just bots. There they are, smiling beautifully. They never have an off day. They probably don't, you know, they never eat. They never eat too many biscuits and feel bad
they
about
don't
it.
They don't
cry. They don't get angry. They don't whatever. They're the perfect sort of...
woman.
Yeah, exactly.
The perfect woman. I mean, I sit here and I think to myself, you know, because if you were a teenager in the 90s, then you were led to believe that you, not only that you could have it all, but that you already had it all, even though some bloke's hand was up your skirt and there was a massive glass ceiling 3 inches above your head. You just sort of, you know, you that's sort of what you thought. And here I sit in 2022 thinking, I can't believe we're still having this conversation, but actually it's almost worse.
Yeah.
You know, as democracy is put into reverse and you've got, you know, AI porn bots,
Well, you've got porn, not even bots, you've got porn watching MPs in the Commons. You've got, you know, it's a constant sort of wash of porn on phones that's creating a whole other double standard for women. Girls. And I'm, you know.
Do you have a lot of younger girls following you and contacting you, Em?
Yeah, I mean, for the majority part, it's like it's 25 to 35, but nothing makes me happier than my second biggest is 18 to 25. And that, I love that. You're saying before about like, I don't know because I wasn't there in the 90s or whatever, but I don't believe it's better. And I think the worst thing about what's happening now is that we can't switch off from it, and it's on such a mass scale. You know, girls are being harassed, not just in real life, but in AI, on social media. We are exposed to bad news relentlessly. We are exposed to all news relentlessly. You know, before, like, okay, yeah, so your boss might make a misogynistic comment to you. That's one in a day. But at the minute, you go on the Daily Mail online and you see like 50 in a row, and then you open your DMs and you've got a photo of a man's dick, and then you go to school and you're going to get shouted at by a guy who is... And to say that Grand Theft Auto, to say that the sort of manosphere or whatever isn't a part of our society is massively, willfully ignorant. Like, it is getting worse in terms, sexism is getting worse online because it breeds in gaming communities. And young girls are bearing the brunt of that, on top of the fact that we still live with the fear that we could just be murdered at any point walking home. And so it's not necessarily that it's better or worse. I just think it's incomparable to anything that we've been through before. And okay, maybe cyber flashing. I've been cyber flashed and I've been real life flashed. And if I had to compare, I'd probably say it's worse in real life, but it doesn't make it nice when it happens online, particularly not when it happens on the scale that it happens to me. Like, I see so many dicks every day. I'm like, this is gross. This is
also
gross.
Also, you know, a disembodied dick is just, you know, both threatening and silly.
Yeah,
but I got really, what are you trying to tell me with that?
Yeah, exactly.
I got cyber flashed on the overground, and at the moment when I realised what it was that had just appeared on my, what had just been airdropped to me, essentially. And then I realised that somebody in that space had sent it to me because they had to be in proximity. And so that, and I was really scared. And you think, oh God, we can make light of it as much as what, oh God, I got, you know, sent a dick and blah, blah, blah. But actually somebody within 3 feet of me or whatever was happy to send his...
You wanted to see the look on your face.
Yeah.
When you opened up that attachment.
Yeah. And it's and you know, it just shows how quickly that can step into our, to real life fear.
I think that's what a lot of people forget. And again, like mentioned Laura Bates because I'm obsessed with her. But so much of what her work is has been really instrumental in educating me. But I think like the thing that we forget, like social media is all fun and games, right? Like it's all gas, it's all like memes and videos, and it's all really great and stuff. But the thing that I think a lot of men, and particularly like the Not All Men Brigade, forget is that underlying everything is the fear that does surround women and does surround young girls, because they are flashed on the way to school and they are spoken about in a derogatory way and they are victims. I would just, you know, it's 96% of young women have experienced sexual harassment. Like, it's extraordinary. And I think, but then, you know, you also have to contend with the fact that you get a lot of older women going, it's a compliment. Like, I wish someone would harass me every once in a while. I'm like, oh, fuck off, Karen. But it's, I think that...
But you know, what's so extraordinary about that, you know, the woman that says that, is she may say that, but she still will not have headphones in with music playing loudly when she walks through a tunnel in the park. I won't. She still will have her keys between her fingers and very alert as she walks home from the pub. She's still scared of being murdered and scared of her daughters being murdered.
But she's also, and this is...
Don't get murdered.
But also she's still walking that impossible line that we're walking where we have to, she feels like she somehow is not being whistled at because she no longer fits the standard of sexual attraction that has been set by the patriarchy, and therefore men are not whistling her. Therefore, in some ways she is redundant and invisible, and she doesn't want that either. So she neither wants to be murdered, nor wants to be invisible, nor wants...
To be fair, like, I get it. Like, our entire worth has been intrinsically linked to our attractiveness the whole way through. So it's fair enough she doesn't want to be invisible. Quite right, she shouldn't be invisible. But she can't silence other women because she's insecure. And that's the problem with social media, is we take our own insecurities, our own anger, our own frustration, and we project it onto people that it has nothing to do with. And that, to take it back to the Not All Men and that fear that's for a lot of young women, that's what worries me, is the men make it a joke, the boys make it a joke at school. It's, you know, and that culture will exist until we can change education, which no one is in a rush to do, which is frustrating. But as long as that
It's frustrating and astounding when you look at the state of education,
sex education.
Harassment in schools.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole... It's terrifying. It's extraordinary.
It is. And as long as you've got boys who can keep it up as banter, and you can take the banter everywhere, it's not just in the locker room, banter follows them everywhere now they've got social media. And the girls still have to tread this impossible line where they need to keep the boys happy, so they need to go along with the jokes and still be pretty and still be funny and still manage all of that. But underlying, it's fucking terrifying. And they can't explain why it's terrifying, because no one talks to them about the fact it's terrifying. I remember we had a pervert at school. There was a town pervert. We were just told,
yes, the resident pervert.
He was like, just don't take photos with him. That's what the school were like. They're like, oh, he's got a koala bear and he's gonna ask you to take a photo with it, and just don't. And it's like, there's a nonce in the town, go and get him. Why is this on kids? But that's the education. There's no conversation around consent, harassment, anything for young women, and it's such a head mess for them. So in short, yeah, I love it when young women follow me online, because I'm like, we've got some stuff to talk about.
Come on in. Yeah. Come on in. The water's lovely.
Yeah.
Let's get in this bath. We're in your bath too, you know, 47. Just like, yeah, absolutely. Because I think, you know, the responsibility is with all of us. You know, there's such a hilarious, there's a brilliant New Yorker cartoon the other day where this guy was like feeding a kid his porridge and going, I'm wean you onto solids, and then can you please fix my internet and climate change? And that's so true. Like, we can't pass off that to to the younger generations just assume, okay, well, you guys are doing better and therefore that's great. We have to be active and, you know, and agitate and fight too.
But I think people lead with defence. People get very defensive, you know, like I don't eat meat. I'm mostly vegan, but I'm too scared to tell people that anymore because it just causes so much, pardon the pun, but beef, Jesus. Like either with vegans who I'm not vegan enough for, or with, you know, like old people who are like, you fucking vegans, you're ruining everything, your climate change is bringing in the soybeans. And I'm like, I can't sit and fight with you about this all the time. And that's what it kind of feels like to be a millennial. It's like, everything's a fight. And it's like, look, I just don't want to eat meat anymore. It's not a biggie, but everything's so politicized. Everything's got to be a huge, whoa, with my day. And it's like, oh, I don't care. Like we're just doing the best with what we've got now. We're doing, making personal choices, but we've just got to give each other a break, to be honest.
A little bit more live and let live. Bring back some of the old fashioned expressions, just a little more live and let live.
Yeah. But that's interesting because that's the you know, the older people who are angry with the snowflakes, they don't live and let live, you know. You know, looking at, I remember Cosmopolitan did an amazing magazine cover. Well, they've done a couple. They had one with Tess Holliday and then they had one with a couple of my friends and it was absolutely amazing last June. And it was showing health in different ways, in a disabled body, in a plus size body or whatever. And the Good Morning Britain presenters kicking off about, you know, this isn't health and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why are you so angry? Why are you so angry? Because these are the same people that don't like it when young people start kicking off about how things have been. It's like, why are you kicking off about how things are now? And there's I think we're all massive hypocrites and we've all got to be a bit cooler about that and accept that
our own hypocrisy sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it's not actually a terrible crime.
No.
It's just human frailty. And frankly, bring me human frailty. I don't want all the perfection and the certainty because it makes me feel scared and isolated.
Yeah, I'm a very happy hypocrite. I love it. I'm a complete contradiction.
I feel like we should have a t-shirt with happy hypocrite on it.
I know.
I feel like this is a bit like the next.
Some merch.
This is the way forward. Yeah. Like, quick, merch. Merch it. This is how we are. Just sell it. Yeah.
But otherwise, if you don't take the piss out of yourself, someone will do it for you. And I think, you know, if you come in and you are behaving like you're holier than thou and you've got all the answers, someone will just try and unpick it and find an area where you're wrong. Whereas if you can walk in and just be like, I'm a mess and I'm doing my best, people are much less inclined to go in on that.
Well, I think that that's what you do and to a certain extent what we do. You know, we're not getting it right. We feel mad and insane most of the time. But, you know, let's try and have a laugh. And I think that's one of the reasons that I enjoy your Instagram and your podcast is because it's got lightness of touch. It doesn't have that oppressive sincerity. It's like, could be right, could be wrong, don't know, but this is how I feel today.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we grew up with the sort of 80s woman who was sort of, you know, literally a kind of sex goddess in the bedroom, a kind of CEO in the boardroom.
Yes, a welder at dawn, yes, and a fisherman at dusk.
You know, she was flashed
up. A beast in the bedroom.
Fix a car and
flexible,
also like dance. Yes, exactly.
Very nails. Flexible.
And you know, these impossible expectations for women. And you're right. Sometimes you just need to walk in and say. And also the other thing is that we were never allowed, you know, we were told by the generation above us, you are never allowed to show that you are not able to cope because therefore you are weak and you are letting the side down.
Yeah.
And you are showing that we do not deserve to be in the spaces that we have sort of, you know, kicked the door down.
So man
up. And, you know, it's horrible when you feel like you can't cope, which is, you know, 90% of the time, except for the time when I've got the bag in the supermarket, it's all working out. But you know what I mean? And, you know, to be able to walk in and go, okay, I'm a mess. This is me with all my flavours and I'm going to give you something brilliant while also...
What that generation missed was that when it comes to, you know, in the boardroom or wherever, is that emotion is a female superpower.
Yes.
So
I was talking to my mum about this.
Yeah.
Honestly, the PR, whoever said that women were emotional and just managed to omit anger as an emotion. I'm like, are you? Anger is the biggest emotion and all men are angry. The minute a woman gets angry, I have to say curtains for her. But it's just like men are the most emotional creatures on this earth. My God. And that I want to meet the PR team because It was a
rebrand.
Yeah, a rebrand.
I'd like a consultancy gig on this, please. Yeah. I think I feel like I could make meaningful change.
Yeah. But you know, there's so much of my own judgments I still have. Like, as you were saying that, I realised that when... So I didn't have a period for 6 years because I had the Marina coil. So I had no period pains. I had no periods. I had nothing. Like, I was like a dude. And when other people would complain about their period pains or, like, take time off work, in my inner head, I'd be like... judgy. I'd be like, well, come on. You
pathetic.
You let the side down. What are you doing? Obviously, because I'm so selfish, it just took me having a period to be like, fucking hell. Like,
this no wonder. Yeah.
God, this is, I can understand it now. But obviously, that's the thing is I couldn't see it until I was literally in that position. And that's the thing with social media. It's so easy to judge because we're not in that position. And it's only when you're in it, you're like, oh, well, shit, I must eat my words. But then it's embarrassing to go back and be like, oh, so I was wrong before and I'm really sorry and whatever. So we just kind of carry on being blinkered and nasty. But I think that's like, I think that's one of the hardest things in the whole wide world is putting yourself in someone else's shoes and particularly online, you know, because why do you want to put yourself, you know, if you're looking at someone like Molly May, for example, like a proper, like big, you know, stunning influencer, yeah. Kim Kardashian, you don't want to feel empathy for them. You don't want to put yourself in their shoes. You don't want to humanize them. You don't want to like them. And you definitely don't want to believe that they shit too, or that they're having a hard time too, because that doesn't help you. And I think that's what's really hard. So rather than have compassion, we just feel anger. And I think that's where social media gets quite negative. But
I think we think, you know, because the whole thing is like a zoo. So really we're bear baiting. Mm. I think we think they have no right to feelings. They have no right to feel sad or vulnerable because, you know, look at everything they've got. So yeah. So they lose, you know, their rights to be human, you know, are compromised by us, really.
Yeah. We're really mean to each other. Really mean. And the annoying thing is, it's women being really mean to other women. And
which has to stop. Which we're all trying to do, to build a sisterhood. And your Instagram and podcast is a very good place to start. So I would direct any of our listeners to M. Clarkson because it is quite mad. And a little dose of Dr. Feelgood always, actually, even when you're struggling, it's done in a very generous way. So
congratulations
on moving from that brutalised 17-year-old girl into the titanic force for good that you're becoming.
Oh, guys, thanks.
Thanks for coming to talk to us today, and come and talk to us again, please.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
This podcast was bravely brought to you by Simprove. You can sign up for a 12-week introductory program, and here's your code for a 15% discount, MIDULT15 at simprove.com.
You've been listening to Annabel Rifkin and Emily McMeekin of The MIDULT. Our book, I'm Absolutely Fine, is out now. If you like what you hear, please rate, review, and subscribe.